Be with you here this morning, and I don't have a full calendar of speaking engagements, different places, so I take occasionally some of them because we are busy at Graphite yet. We're still involved in the chapel in different ways, and limited to what we do at camp, but we do get there. Gary and I are there. I think we were there every day this week at camp doing something, fixing something, repairing something. And for those that, like Dave here, that like sharp ice when he skates, we have an ice resurfacing machine, the one that goes in the back of the tractor that they used to have a way long time ago. I'm sorry, but I'm telling you my age there. And we had to put a new blade under it. The blade that was in it was quite dull, so we got one from Olympiad, and so I replaced that on Friday and got them going with a new blade. But these are kind of things we do all the time, besides driving school bus and involved in the community with different individuals. And also, too, I'm the call-on guy. If something goes wrong at the chapel, I seem to get a call. And I've got to be the Mr. Fix-It and or maybe refurbishing person there. So we're glad that we have some good tradesmen in the chapel that can help us out that I can call. That's the way it was at camp. You know, lots of times we get done all kinds of things at camp, but we had some great tradespeople, electricians, plumbers, people like that, that we could call on. And that's how I learned, is from them. And to get things see how things operate. So we're glad to be here this morning. We got about 8 to 10 inches of snow yesterday morning, and we had about 2 to 2.5 inches, maybe 3 inches this morning when we left. So it's getting to look more like winter. And the snowmobilers, we noticed that as we came south, they were going north. And they were heading for more snow. And so they're eager to get out there and get going. The groomer has gone down the trail twice, once earlier, and set a good base to start with. And then we got a thaw, which made it a little harder and better for traveling on. And then yesterday morning, the groomer went by. So right behind my house is where the Heritage Trail is. So if you were to get on your snowmobile down here, is that possible? Okay, you can get on your snowmobile, and you go north to Whitney, you can go behind my house on the way, and hopefully not to make too much noise to wake me up if I'm sleeping. But we don't have that problem. We hear the machines, but we've got the way the structure of the land is there, there's a bit of a berm there that keeps the noise away. I don't know about you. I've got to put my glasses on. I had some change in my eyes, and then I got a pair of glasses, and I have to have them on to see down here and see for distance, now I need them for reading because he fixed my one eye that used to read to be a long-distance eye in case I lost sight in the other eye, and so I have to wear glasses that will cover my reading, and I'm not getting really used to it yet. I've been kind of trying to get that area. If you see monotony ahead, it's not because I'm saying yes. It's because I'm trying to find the words on the page. Okay? One of the things the Lord has laid on my heart over the past few months is that we are to have this relationship. We're to love everybody. And I don't know about you, but the way our world is going and some of the things that are happening in our world, we kind of question, well, how am I supposed to love all these people? How am I supposed to be a person that can love everyone? Well, we know that that's impossible. In our relationship, normally we can't do that. And as I was thinking of that, I got thinking about, well, we're engaged in a love-hate relationship. Now, some of you are going to say, no, I don't like that. I like my wife too much. I'm not going to say that, you know, that we have those moments in our lives, in our marriage. But that is true. The scripture tells us we are to love God, we're to love others, and we're to hate sin. And I don't know about you, but I have prayed that God would allow me to hate the sin that's around me that I'm supposed to repel in my life. And so as a result of that, this has originated from that. And I want to turn, first of all, to John chapter 15. I've got several scriptures I'm going to look at this morning from the Word of God. I'm not technically prepared to put everything on the screen. I know we've had people come into Graphite and speak at Graphite, and especially our new pastor there, Martin Lord, and he puts everything on the screen, almost everything, up so that you can read it and see it. I'm not technically that advanced. I don't even have a cell phone. I have a phone that if you needed to contact me, you could contact. It's a construction worker's phone. Okay, if you want to contact me or I need to contact somebody for parts, materials, whatever, I've got it. So I don't have a cell phone. I found it very confusing for me because I have worker's hands. I don't have watch repairman's hands. And so when I went to use the phone, I had one at one time for a short period. And when I went to hit one number, I'd hit two. Or one letter, I'd hit two. Well, that was frustrating for me. I couldn't stand for that. So I said, okay, I've got to do something. So I downsized to one that was simpler to handle. John chapter 15, looking at verse 26 and 27, we read these words. Do I have to turn this thing on? Are you receiving me down there? No. Okay. Okay, off, on. There it is. I forget that I have to speak through this. I don't usually do. My voice is strong enough that I can make you hear me. I did teach for 5 years, so I knew how to reach get the children's attention. John 15, verse 26 reads this, like this. When the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And then over in chapter 16, verses 5 to 11, we read these verses. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send you to him. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples in the final days that he's spending time with them. And he's reminding them that he's going to go away from them. Now, they really don't understand what that's all about. They know that he's telling them that, but they don't realize that he is actually going to die. But he's giving them the final instructions, and in those final instructions, he's saying, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send someone to you. He's called the Comforter or the Counselor, and he's going to be with you at all times. And it's not like I am. I'm here now, you see me now, but when I go to be with the Father, I'm not going to be with you any longer. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to be coming and living with you. Now, they found it really hard to believe that. And you know what? As believers today, we find that difficult sometimes to believe also, that God, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is actually living within us. We're reminded that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we should treat it as if it is holy. Just as Peter said, be ye holy, even as I am holy. He quotes from the Old Testament when he says that. And we know that to be holy, I don't know about you, but when I think of being holy, I think that's impossible. because I know who I am and I know my weaknesses. I know how what struggles I have. But he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit with you, and you'll be able to do, or you'll be able to know a lot more than me being off in the distance and not being able to communicate with you. Then we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and there's some ladies here that probably could quote this for me this morning, because it was probably read at your marriage ceremony. And you hear it there much more often than any other time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, and he begins by saying, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am zero. I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Let's just pause to pray. Dear God, we come into your presence this morning. And we call out to you because we know that we need your presence here today. We need your Holy Spirit to use those things that are said, that you've given to me, and those that are hearing it to hear it from yourself. And Father, we just ask that you would minister to us today and use what is going to be said to help us, encourage us, direct us, strengthen us as we walk with you. And our Heavenly Father, we know that if we do this without his help today, we know we do it in vain. But we need your presence, we need your Holy Spirit to communicate with us in your way, in Jesus' name, amen. Love never fails. I don't know about you, but my love doesn't always stay at that level, at the level of which I seek to keep it there. And we know that our love is not like God's love. God's love is endless, it's infinite, and it never changes. Doesn't matter where we go, what we do, what our past is all about. We can forget all about our past when we look to him, because he has forgiven us. Why? Because he tells us that our sin is removed as far from us as the east is from the west. And he remembers it no more. Isn't it great when the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our lives that is all taken away? And as a result of that, we find that our love goes up and down. If you're good to me today, and I say I love you, or I say that to my wife, then tomorrow she does something wrong or cooks something that I don't like for a meal, I don't love you anymore. You know, that's how fickle we are in our love relationships. If I don't benefit for what you are doing for me, then don't expect me to love you. Okay? That's the way it goes. But that isn't God's love. And God is saying to us, when he says we are to love others, we must love others like he loved us. In Galatians 5 and 22, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, we look at the first gift of the fruits of the Spirit is love. That is something that the Holy Spirit gives to us. We said that he has come into the world. Jesus said he's come into the world because we need him. We need him for that purpose of designing in us the love that the Father has for those around us. I don't know about you or how you find it difficult sometimes to live with certain people. Hopefully it's not one in the family, but it could be. I have seen that happen. But God is saying that we are to love everyone. If we go over to Luke chapter 10, do you know the story that's found in Luke chapter 10? Way back when I was teaching school in grade 5, in the reader that we had, there happened to be this story. And it was a story of the Good Samaritan. And I had the children act it out in mime. As someone read it, put them in groups, had one person read it, and they acted it out. And they had a lot of fun doing it. And I appreciated watching it. It was a little bit of a different type of teaching method, but we enjoyed it and had fun. But I never forgot that story was there from Luke chapter 10. But at the beginning of that story, Jesus is talking to a young lawyer, it says. Now, this young lawyer was a man who was responsible for keeping people in line with the law. That's the kind of lawyer he was. And he's asking Jesus questions. And Jesus responds to him and says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." And as he said that, we have to realize that that was a condensed version of the Ten Commandments. When people say, "I think I'm going to go to heaven because I obey the Ten Commandments. I've tried to do that all my life." And we find that you're saying, "But just a second, let me condense that for you so you understand a little better. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Can you do that? Have you done that?" That's the test we have to do before we can say, "Well, I'm going to go to heaven." Because if we love God, we've come to the point in our life where we've yielded our life to Him and allowed Him to take control of our lives. But then the last part was, "And love your neighbor as yourself." You know, and when we go down through the Ten Commandments, and if you have a moment today and you want to take a look at it, take a look at the Ten Commandments and look at the last five. And really, when it's condensed and all the things that you could do to your neighbor or for your neighbor, the end result is, do you love your neighbor? If you love him, you'll not do any of those last five things that are mentioned in the Ten Commandments. So our first thing is, we have to love God. Can we love as God's word compels us to? And the answer is, I don't have the ability to do that. Even living the Christian life, I can't do it either without God in my life, without God being a big part of it, without that Holy Spirit within me. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us, just like we cannot live the Christian life on our own. So we're going to consider, first of all, we're going to consider three groups of people that we're going to look at that we are to love. First of all, we're going to look at loving our brother. Now, some of you, it's pretty easy to love a brother in the flesh. If you knew the hours that Gary and I have spent together in our lifetime, it really hasn't changed since we were a child. Almost every day, we're talking to each other. Every day, we meet with each other. We converse with what we're going to do and what's going to happen and all these things. I remember Janet mentioning, or our wives mentioning, that we'd work at camp all day and go home and have to call each other back again to talk to things about camp. And that's the relationship we have. And we know what it's like to love a brother. And it's someone who can love you back. That's an easy one, isn't it? Someone who can actually love you back. Gary and I, over the years have owned different things and combined and owning different things and doing things together. And over time, we've almost forgotten what was owned by whom and what if I sold that, what would I do? Well, that should go part to Gary. I remember the first truck at camp we got. First truck at camp, Gary and I went out and purchased one, and we worked on, it was an old International Scout, I think it was called a Scout, International, and we fixed it up and we made it work. And then when we got through with that, well, when we went on to a truck and got a half-ton truck because we knew we needed it worse than the Scout. And so it went from there till finally the camp board said to us, maybe you should sell that to the camp or give it to the camp, some way we'll take on the responsibilities of looking after it. Well, we never really thought of that. It just meant that we had a truck we could use and how important it was for that. Over the next group of people we're going to look at this morning is to love your neighbor. Someone who may not love you back. And maybe you've experienced that in your time. I'm fortunate that all our neighbors have been very good neighbors in light of that. And if we were to do something for them, they would turn around and be willing to help us back again or try to pay us or something like that with regards to it. Over in Romans 13 and 8, a verse I want to turn to here, and let you hear what he has to say. Romans 13 and 8, he says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has, the last part of that verse, I lost sight of it, loves has fulfilled the law. Paul is saying that our love for our neighbor is revealed on what we do rather than what we say. Romans 12, turning back to Romans 12 and verse 17 and 18, says this. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. It is impossible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace, if it's possible, if it depends on you, to live at peace with everyone. And I have a little writing here from Vernon McGee that I found when I was studying. And he starts out as, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably. I love this because there are people that you just cannot get along with. They won't let you get along with them. A dear lady who lived alone, a very wonderful Christian, called me one day in deep concern because she had a neighbor whom she couldn't get along with. And she wondered if I would come and talk with the neighbor. As I was driving out there, I was thinking that since this lady had been living alone, although she was a Christian, she might be a little difficult herself. So I went out and talked to her neighbor. Well, the neighbor told me what she thought of me as well as this dear lady. I went back to this wonderful Christian and says, I don't think you need to worry anymore if you can't get along with her. Nobody can get along with that woman. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you, it doesn't say you have to get along with her. Just do the best you can. Just do the best you can. And we know sometimes we get into that relationship, we get in with people, and we find that happening, and we have to keep that in mind. The third one is a difficult one. Third one is love your enemy. Someone who will never love you may even hate you. Now, when it comes to loving, and we think of that, we think of loving our enemy, I find that very difficult because the enemy hurts us. And when we get hurt, we want to do something to get even, don't we? It's just within our human nature. But God is saying we are to love them. We're to love our enemy. In Matthew chapter 5, 38 to 42, we have the story of the Good Samaritan again. And we find there, That's not true. It's not Matthew 5, but I'm going to turn to it. It's Luke 10 that has the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm going to just for a moment look at it. But Matthew 5:38-42 says, when they came to the home of the synagogue, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. And someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now, that's pretty heavy stuff, you know. That's pretty heavy stuff. When we consider what Jesus is telling his disciples, he's telling them all about these things here. That's how much we should care for those that we may not love. When I think of what Jesus was saying too, and he said, we've heard about an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. And Jesus turns around, and it's a very radical statement. When Jesus turns around and says to them, when someone strikes you in one cheek, you have to turn to the give them the other cheek. That's radical, because that wasn't the way the Jews were in the Old Testament. There's many times that if someone struck you, then you got rid of them. You just eliminated them. But Jesus is saying, no, that I want you to love them. I want you to resist that evil that is within us, to strike them back. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. You know, in today's age, when we know what it's all about, the suing aspect, that everybody's trying to get money as a result of suing someone for some benefit that they can get from it, financial benefit. And the end result is, when Jesus says, okay, if someone sues you, turns to you and wants something to sue you, and you give him your cloak. You give him your coat. You give him what he needs, in other words. And this was the extent that our Lord Jesus, in doing this, giving us this picture, is what he would do in order to meet their needs or to show his love for them. We know the story of the Good Samaritan again, where we had the Samaritan helped a Jew, and the Samaritans didn't like the Jews. And they're actually enemies. And they wouldn't even talk together. And we know they wouldn't be seen talking with a Samaritan. The Jew wouldn't be seen talking to a Samaritan. We know the two Jews come along, and they happen to be of a religious order, and a couple come along, and they walked around and took a look at him, and the guy on the ground and said, no, we can't take time for him. We got to keep going. Besides, if we take time for him, somebody else might come along and see what we've got. And along comes the Samaritan. We know what he did. He cared for the man. He took him, and he took him to a place that would take care of him and paid for it, and said, the next time I am back again, if the bill is higher than what I've paid you, I will pay you at that time. That's how much he cared for that man. And that was very, very radical in the day and age of what God is telling, when Jesus is telling the story, that he would... this man would help his enemy. And we know the other story is the woman at the well, Sychar's well, when Jesus was talking to her and revealing to her, and the disciples come back and say, why are you talking to this woman? They'd gone shopping, gone down to Walmart, I think it was, maybe Costco. And when they come back, why are you talking to this woman? She's a Samaritan, you're a Jew. Didn't matter to Jesus. His message to her was the same as all people. And he broke down the barriers and demonstrated his love for those people that needed his help. We can't forget how much Christ loved us. We cannot forget that. He is the primary example that we have as far as loving others. It was for a sin that the nails went through his hands and his feet. It was, how much did he love us? This much. He loved us this much. That he would put his arms out and hang on a cross to demonstrate to us his love for us. In Romans chapter 5, 6 and 8, just turn back. It says this. You see, just at the right time, when we were dead in our You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loved us. But you know, if we go over to Romans and chapter 12, we want to look at the next part of that, briefly look at the next part of it. And what do we read there in Hebrews, or I'm sorry, Romans 12 and 9 says this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Love must be sincere. It must be real. It can't be fake. It can't be hypocritical. It's got to be real. Hate what is evil and cling to that which is good. Do we hate sin? That's the question. Do we hate sin? See, man will continue on in sin and be involved in sin when they don't want to give it up. Sometimes sin is hard to give up. It's we get addicted to it, and we feel we have to have it. And we think we it's not hurting anybody. I'm just hurting myself. I'm not hurting anybody else. God is saying, do we actually hate sin? I prayed that God would help me to hate sin around me, that I wouldn't get taken up with it, I wouldn't get involved in it, that I wouldn't. Yes, because there was sin in my life. And the only way that we can get rid of sin in our lives is by yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit, that gift that is within us, that God wants to develop in us, that gift of love that he wants to give to us, and it's only by his power that we're ever going to overcome. I was just recently shared with me by a cousin of mine that he had witnessed to a young guy that had come to him, and the young guy was addicted. I don't know exactly what all his addictions were, but he was addicted. And he had to go for rehab. And people wanted him to go for rehab. He didn't want to go. And he came to speak to him, and he told my cousin that he wanted to have what he had. And so he shared with them that he needed Jesus in his heart. And that young man, they talked about it, and that young man, not saying anything to my cousin with regards to it, but he went to rehab. He had changed his mind. He didn't want to go when he came. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be involved there. It's admitting that I have an addiction. We know with Alcoholics Anonymous, they can't help an alcoholic until they admit that they have an addiction. And so he had to admit that first. And he went, and I've been waiting for a reply back again to see how well he is doing. And I'm praying for him continually that God would give him the strength to overcome this addiction. But not only that, but he would realize that the only way that he can overcome that addiction is because God has given him the power to do it. And God gets the glory. I had another gentleman in my life that I knew, and I wanted to go and talk to him, but he had, I think it was like a brain aneurysm, and he succumbed to it, or he didn't succumb to it, he overcome it. And he had to go into the hospital and spend a certain amount of time there. And I wanted to talk to him because we'd been praying for him. And I wanted to tell him I was praying for them, and he was out now, and God had given him the strength to walk again. But when he came to talk to me, it was all about what he had done. What he had done. It was so disappointing to me when I realized he didn't realize God was there at all. God wasn't there at all. And I was so disappointed, I couldn't say anything, because I probably would have cried in his face. I felt sorry for him, because a request had come to us at the chapel to pray for this gentleman, that he needed God's hand on his life because of what had taken place. And God raised him up, and God didn't get the glory. You know, there are times in our lives we have to realize, come to the point that we need God's power, God's help in our lives, and that he is the only one that can give us that power. I was reminded again of the very fact that, you know, there's times that we want to take the credit for things that happen in our lives. But we belong to Christ. We're not our own. We belong to him. Everything we are and have, we cannot boast of anything we have. It's because he has granted it. He has given it to us. We have to realize that even though we think that we are without sin in our lives, even though we think we have it beat, I go to Psalm 19 and I read this verse, 19 and 12. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. And that over in Psalm 90, we read this, and 8. You have set our iniquities before you. Our secret sins are in the light of your presence. We may think that we're living a righteous life, but there's things in our lives that are being that God doesn't want there. So the psalmist is praying, oh God, reveal to me those things that are separating my communication and my desire to follow you and yielding to the Holy Spirit. Reveal them to me so I can confess them and get on with my life. That's what God wants. I trust today that I may have given you a few thoughts with regards to God's love and how we're to love others. The reason why I can say that is because there are people in this world God has asked us to love. And pretty hard if they walked into this room to walk up to them and embrace them, throw our arms around them. You know what I'm saying. But if we were to love them as Christ loves them, then it would make a bigger difference. It would make a difference to them and to us. So we have to yield to the Holy Spirit working in us to keep us, allow us to love them, helping us to love them, and helping us to know that they belong, to have the same opportunity as I had in my life, the same chance to know him and to walk with him and plead with him each day, that I can embrace him.
I'm not a huggy type of guy. My brother Bob is. Everybody that comes to Graphite Chapel Sunday morning gets a hug from Bob. I'm not that way. But you know what? When I talk about embracing my Heavenly Father, I embrace Him because He is much greater than my earthly father because of what He's done for me. And I want that every day. I need that every day. We need it. And I trust that we will seek for it as we walk with Him. Oh God, thank You this morning for the time we spent looking into Your Word. And Father, sometimes when we want to measure up to the standards that You have in Your Word, we find it almost impossible. Impossible to even come close. But Father, we are also reminded that You sent to us a comforter, a counselor, one who can empower us if we but yield to Him and to You, that He will give us the power and strength to overcome those inabilities, inhibitions in our life, that we can love as You loved. Oh God, we know that it is not easy. But we pray that we might display the person of Christ in our lives every day, that we would show mercy to those that are around us. When, Father, we may not have that within us, but we know that You can allow us to have it. Oh God, just go with us, be with us, may Your hand be upon us, and help us to love those around us and seek to love them more than we ever felt we could because of Your presence in our lives. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.